What an introduction. Fasten your seatbelt. Oh, so lift your hands and say, not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit. Therefore, be it unto me according to your word. I want to say that one more time. Not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit. Therefore, be it unto me according to your word. Come on, you believe it? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And I have a very strong word to bring tonight. Last night, God spoke to us very prophetically that we're heading in, the day of the watchman has arisen. The day of the watchman has arrived. And that God is going to be raising up prophetic voices to speak very strongly into this present day and into this present darkness. And those voices are not just going to be, you know, nicey, nicey, sweetie, blessy, blessy, kissy, kissy, you know. It's going to be the word of the Lord for the hour. Because God loves us so much that he also is going to speak and call out, and he will not stay silent about the wickedness. In fact, there's a place in the scriptures where God says that you mistook my silence as if I agreed with what you were doing. I'm paraphrasing, but basically he was saying that you mistook my silence, that I was actually okay with what you were doing, but I'm about to speak. And God is about to speak. And what are we going to do in the days that we're in? I mean, it's crazy right now. I mean, all of the stuff that is just sewing on, and well, the jacket lasted 30 seconds. but I don't even know why I spent all the money for a jacket, but, you know, it looks good when you walk in, and that's about it. Yeah. But there's so much. I mean, we're in such a crazy day, and all the voices that are screaming and coming at us in such an intense way. I saw this tweet the other actually, it was this morning, and it was kind of funny. One of the leftists are out there, and he's like, trans women are women. Trans women are women. He wrote that about 10 times. And then Riley Gaines, who is that college swimmer that lost to the transgender swimmer, she put it out. She said, hot dogs are dogs. Hot dogs are dogs. And then somebody else responded and said, sea lions are lions. Sea lions are lions. And it's interesting, and but it caught my attention because they were saying it over and over and over and over again, because that's the intent. That's how the enemy gets lies to become a part of our accepted truth. He just keeps saying it over and over and over and over and over and over again until you actually believe that it's true. And so all of these voices are screaming and flooding out there, things that are just not reality. They're not biologically true. You know, they told us a lot of things about COVID, you know, all right, over and over and over again. They said, oh, you know, and they told us the things about the vaccine, which turned out to me not true, that many scientists saw were true, but if they dared spoke up against it, you were quashed and you were crushed. In fact, I just saw today a very progressive leftist guy has been canceled. I think he was the founder of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Rolling Stone magazine, and he's a real activist for leftist causes, and yet they canceled him because he made some comment. And we're living in a day when it seems like wickedness is ruling the day. It seems like, I mean, no matter where you turn, It's like craziness is going on, and then we're being told if we dare speak up about it, we're being shut down, we're being attacked, we're being canceled, our jobs are, people are losing their jobs over these things. Yes. I saw a report earlier today also of an 18-year-old that was there on January 6th, and he ended up losing his job, and he ended up getting arrested, and he didn't do any acts of violence. He got arrested, and then he was back in his hometown under very strict court orders, and because Antifa rose up and pressured his job, and so his job fired him because they couldn't deal with the stuff. He ended up being nearly homeless, and he was offered only one place to stay out of the territory where the court order, and he had to go there just to not be on the streets, and so they arrested him, and they've got him sitting in the D.C. gulag.
I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it. They got these 6x8 cells, and they have a little mat, and they're nothing but their underwear, and they're with literally just a little hole for a toilet, and nothing but their underwear, and that's where they're. I mean, we're treating our prisoners in America worse than we're treating prisoners in Gitmo. Boy, y'all looking at me strange. And I say, why are you bringing all this? Are you going to get all political? No, I'm bringing all this and saying, it seems like wickedness is thriving. It seems like everywhere you turn, wickedness is what are we? It's coming after us, and it's like we're being attacked on every side. Christianity is systematically being outlawed around the world. If you dare say in Canada or in United Kingdom, if you dare say homosexuality is a sin, you are going to jail. You can be arrested and go to jail. It's happening right now. How are we supposed to respond when it seems like this wicked stuff is rising up, when we see so much injustice, when we see, you know, crazy, crazy people just destroying San Francisco, robbing blind, and yet we see other people just getting off scot-free? How are we supposed to respond? Mm-hmm. And I believe Psalm 37 is such a vital moment, word, and chapter for this moment right now. So we're going to read the whole psalm, and then we're going to come back and teach some incredible principles on it. But this is vital, guys. How do we handle the days of wickedness that we are in? Because in certain dimensions, areas of society are going to become even more wicked. And yet I know that there also is going to be an amazing outpouring of God, and you're going to see areas of incredible revival and righteousness. But the only way the righteousness and the kingdom of God is going to break forth, if we understand how we are to respond in the midst of wickedness, because the way you respond in the midst of wickedness determines whether the kingdom of heaven is released or the kingdom of darkness is released through you. Let me lay a foundational principle. God established and put man on the earth. Man is created unique above all creation. Everything else God spoke, but to man, God formed him with and fashioned with his own hands. God breathed the very breath of life into man. God made man a unique being, and God gave man dominion over the entire earth. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that he blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion. So he gave us a process of God's kingdom being fully and the dominion of God being fully established in the earth. He said, first, you must be fruitful. Then multiply. Then fill. Then subdue. And then have dominion. We've got a lot of people out there in prayer, and I believe, and we are people of prayer, and I love the houses of prayer and the prophetic places of prayer like here, but we got a lot of people out there saying, I declare dominion here, and I declare dominion there. They're skipping to step 5, but it begins with step 1, to be fruitful. And the fruitfulness of God is consistent throughout scriptures. The fruitfulness of God is the fruit of the Spirit. Huh? Be like God. Act like God. Act like God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long suffering. Right? Faithfulness. We see the fruitfulness of God. So Jesus said, he said, I am the vine. You are the branches. My Father is a husband, right? He who abides in me bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's in the bearing of the fruit of God on the earth of God. And as that multiplies, I'm going to come back to this, so put it in your spirit. Are you with me? You start releasing the fruit of God. That begins to multiply into other people's lives. It begins to fill the region where you live, which allows you to subdue the powers of darkness and ultimately take dominion. What happened in the early church? The early church began to preach the gospel. They began to share. It began to spread and spread and spread. And what was one of the major things that happened? When they went into cities, like these ancient cities, where they worshiped these false gods, over a process of time, as they continued to operate in the character and nature of God, and it began to, the truth of God began to fill the region, it began to subdue the demonic forces, and the demonic worship of these false gods ceased. Why? It began with them acting like Jesus. When you act like Christ, you release the power of the kingdom of heaven into the earth. And I want you to put that in your spirit and take that, get that so deep in your spirit, and filter the entire Sermon on the Mount through that reality. Jesus wasn't just teaching you how to live and it, because this is how you're supposed to live. He was teaching you how to take dominion over the earth. He wasn't just teaching you be a nice person because that's why I want you to be a nice person. He was saying, no, if you act like I act, you're going to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Because smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he teaches them how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he tells them the purpose of this is to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth so that it'll be on earth as it is in heaven. So when you act right, when you act righteously, it releases the kingdom of God into your environment. Man, this is so powerful if we get a hold of this, because a lot of times you look at things in the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to deal with some of them, but you look at these and you're like, oh man, you know, if I bless those that curse me and pray for those that despitefully, I'm just weak and I'm powerless, you know, and if I love my enemies, then they're going to take advantage of me. No, Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand. When you act according to my word, you release kingdom power into the earth. Why did I tell you to bless those that curse you? Because the blessing has more power than the curse. So they release demonic power to you through the curse, but when you release a blessing, it literally drives back the force of the demonic curse they released. That's why today, when we got so many Christians running around in parts of the world and they're so afraid of generational curses and they're running around, oh, some witch said something over me. Some witch said something over me. Well, I got the answer for you. Bless. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Boy, it just got quiet. I've got the answer for you. Stop running around saying, oh, I think someone's casting a spell on me. Bless those that curse you, because the blessing overrides the power of the curse. But it's hard to do that. Oh, don't look at me so spiritual. It's easy to say amen in church and then get out and someone cuts you off when you're trying to pull out. And all of a sudden. See, I'm good at this in church. I'm horrible at this in McDonald's drive-thru. All right, Psalm 37, beginning with verse 1. So in the context of what do we do when it seems like evil is thriving? Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I want to pause there just for a second. That famous verse which we love, delight yourself also in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of the heart, is in the midst of wickedness thriving. All right, we'll come back to that. Right. Commit your way to the Lord. You got to understand, David was speaking this when it looked like wickedness was thriving. It looked like wickedness was winning, and he was writing this and penning this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. There it is again. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Oh, we got quiet all of a sudden. Maybe I should preach out miracles. Y'all shut me down. Why? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord... I just lost my spot. But those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Someone say it belongs to us. And yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. Okay, this is not just wickedness striving. This is wickedness plotting against you. And the Lord laughs at him. Wait. What are you saying? God's saying, listen, when the wicked are plotting against you, when the globalist agenda is trying to figure out how to drive Christianity out of every form of society, when they're trying to figure out how to crush you and outlaw you, God's sitting there going, You're like, oh, what's going on? Listen, let me tell you something. If you get a hold of Psalm 37, you will stop freaking out over every conspiracy theory. Come on. Oh, the Illuminati. Ah! Well, who cares? Oh, what about UFOs? What if there's aliens? Who cares? You're like looking at me, wait, what do you mean who cares? If there's aliens, God created him. He's in control of them. He's not freaked out by him. I don't personally believe in him, but that's all right. Y'all looking at me strange. Right? Oh, they're taking over. Oh, they're stealing all the elections. And these things may be true. And God said, I'm just giving you enough rope to hang yourself. Y'all looking at me strange. All right, watch. He goes on. The Lord laughs, for he sees that his day is coming. He sees the day of judgment for those evil. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent the bow to cast down the poor and the needy. Because let me tell you something, that's exactly what wickedness always does. They often oppress the wicked, the poor and the needy by promising them they're their savior, but they're actually taking them away from Christ. Because anything that replaces Christ in your life as your protection, as your provision, as your source, as your sense of value, anything is a demonic assignment, and it ultimately will enslave you. To cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. So the wicked go after the poor and the needy, and they also go after the righteous. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Woo. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Oh, my. God's watching every time you still act according to his word in the midst of so much oppression and so much wickedness. When he watches it and he says, oh, your inheritance will last forever. It may look like the wicked are prospering for a season, but don't you worry about it. They are going to lose everything, and I'm giving everything to my people. Just a few more verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just a few more verses. They shall, God's righteous, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time.
When is it going to happen? In the evil time. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Why? Because God's going to show up strong. God's going to show up strong. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. I told you, Psalm 37 is killer. Man, this is awesome. In the days of famine, the global economy is going to crash. You know what? Yes, it is. Don't worry about it. You're going to be satisfied. Because you're not operating under the global economy. You're operating under God's economy. And God is not running out of anything. Woo! Watch this. But the wicked shall perish, verse 20. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. So in the middle of that, look at the context he's talking about. The days when everything is seeming like wickedness is rising. The days when oppression is coming against God's people and the righteous. The days when the economy is in shambles and it seems like there's famine. God says, I'm not only going to satisfy you, I'm going to secure your inheritance. He said, I'm going to give you so much that in those days you, when the people who did borrow can't pay it back, you're going to have so much you're going to be able to give. Are you seeing that? Yeah, it's the banking system going to collapse. If at some point it is going to collapse. It's in that. It's going to collapse. And many, many, many that borrowed, and these people that are making wealth by borrowing and using the system, many of them are going to go bankrupt. They won't be able to repay. But God says, no, no, my people are going to operate under a completely different realm. And they're going to be so satisfied, they're going to be satisfied. So they're going to have what they need. They're not going to be lusting for the things of the world because they have a focus on an eternal. And as a result of both of those things, they're going to have enough to be generous to others. Whew. All right. Two more verses. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fall, the righteous man, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, let's back up. I want to go through a few of these verses. I'd like to take the next 2 weeks to go verse by verse. Because this psalm, get a hold of this psalm. Read this psalm. Memorize. I mean, it's incredible. But it begins with the beginning. That was profound. It begins with the beginning, not the end. It begins with such an incredible point. Psalm 37, verse 1. Don't laugh at me, Travis, too much. You're preaching Tuesday. I'll be laughing at you. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. Everybody say, do not fret. Here's what the word fret means. To become angry, to feel aversion, or antipathy for something, to be agitated or even irritated. Don't become agitated. Don't become irritated. Don't get worked up. Don't become mad because of evildoers. And the word evildoers means this: someone who does evil deliberately. Especially someone who deserves to be punished for their acts. God says, don't get worked up over it. Yikes. I don't know if you have got that conquered yet, but yikes. Don't get worked up. God says, don't fret.
He later goes on and says, don't fret because it, and don't become angry because it only causes harm. Don't get worked up. Don't fret. It only causes harm. Now, how in the world are we going to possibly be in this realm where we don't get worked up when it seems like wickedness is thriving? God's telling us, I'm teaching you how you're supposed to respond in the midst of all of this wickedness. Don't let it get under your skin. Why? Because God says, I'm working an eternal plan. Now, I'm not saying ignore wickedness. Are you understanding? I'm not saying you don't speak against and call it out. That's what the prophetic watchmen do. They call it out. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying is don't let it work you up into a state of frustration or irritation or anger. And the only way you're going to possibly do that is you begin to take on a true eternal perspective. Amen. Which is verse 2. For they shall soon. Everybody say soon. For those of you that watch The Chosen, how many watch The Chosen? You all know that word soon is such an imprecise word. But and we're going to get to that in a little bit. We're going to get it. But for soon they shall be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. God says, don't let it get under your skin because in the end, I am going to deal with all of this. I am going to work justice and righteousness in the earth. Huh? And I am your God. I am your loving Heavenly Father. I will defend the righteous. And even if for a season it seems like wickedness is thriving, it always comes to destruction. Huh? The Hitlers always end up dying. Huh? The Stalins always end up dying. The Soviet Unions always end up collapsing. The oppression and the tyranny always comes tumbling down. The Roman empires always end up in destruction, being burned to the ground. It always happens. Why? It may take time. It may take years. It may take decades. But in the end, it always happens because God has preordained it. Only righteousness will endure forever. And so when we start looking from the eternal perspective and we start looking from the long run, it says it looks like they're taking over and maybe for a season. We know in the end times the Antichrist will have appeared to take over the entire world. And yet his end is signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen. He's only going to be allowed to rule in that kind of way for 3.5 years. Before Jesus comes in and he splits the sky open, riding on a white horse, and we are with him, coming down. Yeah. And if you look at it between Daniel and the book of Revelation is 1,260 days, and Daniel it's 1,290 days. Why is there a 30-day difference? Because it's possible. Mike Bickle from IHOP says it this way. It's possible Jesus is just riding around with the armies of heaven through the atmosphere for 30 days, letting because the Bible says every eye will see him. He's going to be in the size of a man. He's going to ride through every land saying, hey, I'm about to land. You better. And the Bible says they're going to run. They're going to go into caves. They're going to ask for the rocks to come down. Hide us from the face of him who rides on the clouds of heaven. Hide us from him. Jesus said, I'm coming. Soon, someone say soon. They're going to be cut down like grass. It's God will put an end to the wickedness. Yes. The problem is, if we get caught up irritated, agitated, fretting, angry, we are likely to then move in the works of the flesh instead of the fruit of the Spirit. And we actually become vessels releasing darkness. See, dominion has been given to man. There is no devil that can do anything on this earth except a man or woman, a person, yields to him. The devil couldn't force anything. That's why he deceived Eve and got Adam and Eve to yield to him. So death and darkness could be released into the earth. Because God gave dominion to man. Now, some people wrongly believe that the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they gave dominion to the devil. They did not give dominion of the entire earth to the devil. He's only the prince of the power of darkness. He's the prince of darkness. He's not the ruler of everything here. We are still have dominion. Man still has dominion. It's one of the reasons, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, and will he not do it? And the gifts and call of God are without repentance. So put it in your spirit. I'm going fast here. But when once God gave dominion to man, he was never going to take it away. So since man released darkness into the earth and fallen man could not release righteousness back into the earth, God had to send his son as a man. Because only a man had the right of authority to release the dominion of the kingdom of heaven back into the earth. That's why the first message Jesus started preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he spoke to his disciples about them being born again. The kingdom of heaven is now within you. Amen. Woo! Somebody say, the kingdom is within me. And when I act according to the kingdom, it releases kingdom authority into the earth. Do you understand the power you have when you bless? You begin to operate with the same authority as Jesus. When you don't get angry and worked up and fretting over evildoers. Can I show this to you? Yes. Come on, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. This is so good. Oh, I'm going to get excited. Matthew chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount, verse 44. Actually, let's say verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now look at three things there. Really important. Number one, say bless. He said, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Huh? You're going to have to make up your mind to do this. Because in the moment, if you haven't made up your mind to do good, to bless those that curse you, and to do good to those who hate you, if you haven't made up your mind, when that hits you, you're going to react most likely in a negative way. Come on, amen? And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Watch for, I don't know if you're, are you ready for the next verse? Verse 45, look at this. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Wait. That you may be sons. What do the sons have? The sons, we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. He is the firstborn. We are joint heirs with the firstborn. The sons have the right to exercise the authority of the family name. They have the right to exercise the authority of the father. He says, if you act like this, then you are sons of your father. If you respond like this, then you have the right to operate in sonship authority. I don't know if you understand sonship authority. You remember when the prodigal son ran away, and then when he came back, and the father immediately, he washed his feet and he put a robe on him, and then he put the ring back on his finger. The ring is a signet ring. That was a family crest. That gave you the right to go and enter into transactions. You could go into public square and use your ring to buy and purchase things, because it was not who you were, but it was the family name that you were representing. The signet ring we have is praying in the name of Jesus. When your sons when your sons, then anything you ask in my name shall be done. I could spend hours on this because people say as soon as somebody gets baby Christian gets saved, they have all power and authority over everything. No, they don't, because they're so immature. God can't give them the powers of the age to come. He provides for them. He protects them. He teaches them. He trains them in righteousness. But those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They are the ones who have the right to exercise kingdom authority in the earth. See, this is one of the reasons why the hyper great grace message is an enemy of the kingdom of heaven. Because the hyper grace message says it doesn't matter how you live, you're forgiven. Okay, you're forgiven. By grace, you're saved through faith. You're forgiven, so it doesn't matter how you live. What they're missing is you're saved by grace through faith. You didn't earn your salvation. But now, if you keep acting wickedly, you're going to continue to release darkness into the earth. Come on. Go ahead, sir, and commit adultery and find out if destruction doesn't come into your family. Huh? Continue to watch that pornography and watch if destruction doesn't come into your personal life and your relationships. Continue to lie. Continue to steal. No, it's only as we act righteously that the kingdom of heaven is released into the earth. And I believe that is why, although we are saved by grace, our rewards are completely determined by our works. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where Jesus spoke to the seven churches, every single one of them, he addressed their works. The Apostle Paul says all of our works are going to be tried by fire. Some of our works are wood, hay, and stubble. Some are gold, silver, and precious metals. He said everything's going to be tried by fire. He said some people are going to get into heaven and have absolutely no reward because their life was a waste. But every time, especially in the face of suffering, persecution, negative circumstances, gossip, backsliding, slander, every time you act righteously, God says reward, an eternal reward. So when someone comes and cusses you, and you just sit there and say, man, they just gave me an opportunity to get more jewels. This is really cool. Thank you, brother. I bless you. Why are you blessing me? You bleepity bleep. Oh, thank you again. I really want to. Can I pray for you? Because every time you're cursing me and I'm blessing you, I'm getting a reward that will last forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a whole lot better than winning the lottery. Because most people lose that within 2 years. You know, it don't matter. It's gone. They realize it's worthless. But, oh. The Bible even says that the wicked labor and toil to gather wealth, but they will not partake of it because it's laid up for the righteous. A man of God I knew one time, he was coming out of an airport, going to a meeting, and he got out of the airport, and you know, that's when they had the taxis, and he'd hail the taxi, and he was the next in line, and taxi came, and this businessman ran and just pushed him aside and jumped in. And he said, and just took over and says, I've got a multi-million dollar deal I'm going to lose. I got to take this taxi. And the man of God just stepped back and said, oh, I just bless him. And the taxi director was like, no, 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 I'll get him out. No, 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 let him go. Let him go. And the man said, do you know him? He says, yes, he works for me. He's toiling, he's laboring, but he's not going to get to eat of it. You see, when you start getting an eternal perspective and you start getting a God perspective, no wonder James was able to say one of the most insane things when he said, consider it pure joy when you suffer divers temptations and trials. Why? God's giving you an opportunity for more rewards. And your rewards are not just like, well, what do I need wealth in heaven? No, no. It's all, your rewards in heaven are so much more than that. Your rewards of heaven, maybe I'll talk about this some tomorrow night. Your rewards of heaven are the glory, the authority, the power, the position, the influence you're going to have. Even your brightness will be different than others. The Bible talks about that. Some will have it speaks of there's the glory of a star, and then there's glory of the moon and the glory of the sun, and there's different levels of glory. There's going to be different levels of glory in heaven. And it all determines on how I act here on the earth now. He says, for soon they shall be cut down. Verse 3. As you can tell, I'm not going to get very far. Trust in the Lord. We love to say, I trust in him, but our actions prove that we don't. I mean, that's just a reality. We love to say we trust in him, but our actions prove we don't. Well, I trust the Lord. And then we go do all these wrong things. Huh? Can I make a statement that will really make you not like me? When you're truly trusting in the Lord, you're not going to live a stressed out life. You're going to have perfect peace. And it's something else that I learned in trusting in God. And this will help you with all relationships. Because we have taught in our society, and it's common accepted as truth, that all relationships are built on trust. That's how we accept it as truth. The problem is the person that you're trusting is weak, is frail, is subject to temptations and failures and misunderstandings and everything else that you are. God never told me to trust you, Andrew. He never made the predicate of my relationship with you trust. He told me to love you. He told me to trust him. Okay, this is really heavy, all right? Because whenever I preach this, I always feel people going, I mean, because you think your ability to rightly discern whether you can trust somebody keeps you safe from being mistreated. But anybody who's had long-term relationships realize you are a terrible judge of character. Come on, amen? Don't look at me. How many of you here have ever been betrayed? Okay, you're a terrible judge of character. And so am I. We are all, because no one knows. That's why God says don't judge, because you can't figure it out anyways. Because some people are really good at hiding their ulterior motives. And some people, they're doing good for a while, but then things happen in their heart, and then they go and they'll betray you. And if our relationships were totally dedicated or relegated, as we've done, on whether I could fully trust somebody, how do you know you can fully trust them? God didn't tell you to trust them. He told you to trust him. Not just with yourself, but also trust that he's able to work into them. You see, as long as trust in people is the condition for the dimension and depth of your relationship, the enemy will go overtime causing events and misunderstandings to happen in order to cause you to progressively less and less trust people, so you will not connect in the type of deep relationships that are necessary to put the kingdom of darkness at flight. For one puts 1,000 to flight, but two 10,000, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. We cannot do this by ourselves. We are mutually dependent one upon another. Let me bring it into a more practical example. There is such a distrust has built in the body of Christ because we took on this thing. And there has been because certain big-name preachers have come out. We've seen them fall into sin. And then people get hurt because of misunderstandings and all this other stuff. There is so much distrust of God's leadership that we kind of come and connect tentatively. Are y'all hearing me? Well, I got hurt by a pastor before. I got hurt by a church before. I'm just not sure. And they'll watch you and they'll watch you. I think I can trust. And then maybe you do something that they don't understand. Hello? Or maybe Brother Mike, God forbid, has a bad day. All right, you never have a bad day, but hang out with me for a little bit. Come on, right? If he was a man. You ever hear that phrase? If they were a man of God. Do you believe David was a man of God?
Come on now.
I promise you, Brother Mike has not done anything close to what David did. You say, how do you know? He's still alive. Because the one next to him would kill him. So I know. It's guaranteed. Right? But who am I to say David wasn't a man of God when God said it's the only one God ever said he's a man after my own heart. Wait, an adulterer, a deceiver, a disobedient person, a murderer? Lord, what is your concept? I'll tell you what my concept is. He keeps coming back to me. He honors me, he loves me, and even when he fails, he keeps coming back to me. And he humbles himself before me. The problem is if we build it, God, that's why God told you, love one another. He never told you to trust one another, including in marriage. God, please, do you understand? Do you understand? I watched this young couple. They came in our church, and they were in our church, and both of them got saved in our church, in our ministry, and they started dating, and it was, but she had been abused in former relationships and as a child. And someone sowed a seed in her and said, don't ever be like such and such ministry. Because the husband would travel in the nations, the wife would stay home. Don't ever be like that. Always stay together. Don't be like them. Now, this was a couple that they were very connected to and were being mentored by. So all of a sudden, they got this little seed of distrust and it started to separate. So then the couple got married. This young couple got married. And when they got married, immediately the wife starts having suspicion. Are you cheating on me? 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 I'm so terrified. She was so terrified. She kept hounding and hounding and hounding and hounding. And it became so tormentous. He went on a few mission trips without her. And she just would freak out. I mean, freak out. It was just torment. So much so that he got in torment. And then the devil sent an old girlfriend. Huh? And he talked to the old girlfriend, and he fell into sexual sin with her. Oh, she had a reason to not trust. Well, maybe she didn't have. I don't think it was really there until she kept seed sowing it by falsely accusing. Are y'all hearing? I'm not blaming her because he's just as guilty. Are y'all hearing me? But do you understand? We don't understand the dynamics because the whole thing is, no, I am going to love him and I'm going to love her no matter what. That's why the covenant, tell death do us part, used to actually mean something. And I'm not preaching against anybody because many of you know what I've gone through. But it means something. But the issue, God says, trust me. Trust me, I will work it out. Trust me, I am in control. Rest in the trust of me. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Are y'all ready? This is heavy. But guys, if we don't get a hold of this, man, we're going to be run, just racked over the coals with what's coming. Because see, many Christians in approaching America right now, and even the political and governmental and judicial systems, we actually still think it's a Christian nation. We actually still think we have that agreed upon fundamental Judeo-Christian belief system. But the rules have been thrown out. Huh? That's why they paint in the political, the left and the right, they're evil. They're not just disagree with them, they're evil, right? I watch right now what's happening. This is what's happening right now. But I'm not saying it doesn't go both ways. It does. But you see this going right now with the persecution of Trump. And it doesn't matter. They break a bunch of laws. They won't care because he's so evil. It's okay to break the Constitution. It's okay. It's okay because he's so evil. Guys, it's never okay to break righteousness, no matter how evil anybody's becoming. Because if we accept that that's okay in one case, then it will be deemed okay against us. That is how German people were able to allow their leadership to murder 6 million Jews. You say, I would never do that. Oh, don't think too highly of yourself. You are just as capable of them. You and I are just as capable of being just as wicked if we can be filled with enough fear and enough anger. We can justify anything. We are no different than the Germans. We are no different than the crowds that used to stand in the Colosseums cheering the Christians being torn apart and eaten by lions. We are no different. The only thing that makes us different is the working of the kingdom of Christ in us. We are just as capable of that kind of darkness as anybody else. And until we all must realize that. You say, I would never do that. Oh, yes, every one of us has the capacity of that kind of wickedness. And that place of humility keeps us safe. Huh? That's, huh? Right? That's why it's written in scriptures. There's no clean thing in me. That the heart of a man is desperately wicked above all things. They understood. We are all capable of extreme wickedness. That's why we need the working of the Spirit of God in us and to continue to act righteously. Now watch this. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful. And I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3, now verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Christianity is going to be mocked, and God is going to be mocked unlike anything ever in the history of the world in these last days. Because, see, throughout all of the rest of history, they may have mocked certain gods, but almost every culture believed in a god. But we're heading into the culture that is going to deny God, any god, and scoff. And isn't that what they're doing now? Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. And not only are scoffers outside the church, scoffers are inside the church. And what they're doing inside the church, and the son of Charles Stanley, tremendous man of God, just recently died. Andy Stanley is now telling people, don't listen to the Bible. You don't have to, it's not accurate. You don't have to follow the word. You don't have to be rooted in scripture. Just be rooted in the resurrection. Don't be rooted in scripture. There's too many contradictions and all this. Guys, the moment you get rid of this, everything will fall apart. Because Jesus said, not one dot or tittle of this is going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away before one bit of this passes away. Scoffers in the church. There's scoffers in the church telling you, well, Jesus didn't really mean what he said. And there's scoffers in the church that tell people, there's a young lady went to a man, a preacher, and he said, I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, and I was feeling very guilty. And he said, oh, Jesus will put you in the legalist bondage if you read his words. This is in the church. They're scoffers. You say, I can't believe it's happening. It's happening all over. Yeah. Scoffers will come, and they're walking according to their own lust and saying, and here's one of the things you're going to see, because it's dealing with the second coming of Christ. Where is the promise of his coming? Yeah, every generation said Jesus was coming back soon. Well, remember what I've preached? Those of you here last night, I preached that the day of the watchman has arrived. The watchmen are going to be mainly declaring, judgment is coming. Jesus is coming back. Repent while there's still the season of favor of the Lord, while there's still a time to get right. Repent now. And they're going to say, where is this coming? Every generation talked about it. Well, they may, that's true, but it's coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all, and this is what they're going to say, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, you keep talking about the second coming of Christ, but it never happens. Verse 5, for they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. In other words, God's saying, they willingly forget. I destroyed this earth once, and if I did it once, I'm going to do it again. I wiped it out once. But the heavens, watch what he says. This is so powerful. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word that destroyed the earth by the flood, is the same word that is preserving the earth today, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God says, I am going to do what I said I'm going to do. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. Huh? Yeah. That word slack means demonstrating an absence of haste or hurry. God is not absent haste or hurry. His time frame is just different than mine, yes. Right? Yes. But God's saying, I'm going to do all this. Don't you be concerned. Don't you get. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some considers count slackness, but is long-suffering. So why, God, why are you allowing the wickedness to continue? Why are you allowing all this to go on? He tells us right here. But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason God is delaying is to give a chance for more people to get saved. He's wanting his house full in heaven. Woo! So I don't know about you. How many of you want Jesus to come back soon? Come on, how many of you want to come back soon? Then get soul winning. Get the house full, then he can come back. That just got, that went over like a lead brick. What? Lord, come quickly, come quickly. He says, well, then work. Get out there and win people. I'm not wanting that any should perish. So I am holding out. There's a day that I've already predetermined. No more. But I'm holding out because I want my house full. And I'm going to invite everyone. The guests that were originally invited, if they don't come, then I'll go out into the streets. And if they don't come, I'll go into the highways and byways. I'll fill my house up with a bunch of people living on the streets in San Jose. I don't care who they are. I just want my house full of those that will love me. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night. The day is going to come. He said, it's going to come. I am not holding, I'm not slack. You rest. So let's go back to verse 3, Psalm 37, verse 3. He said, trust in the Lord. And because you trust in him, because you know he's coming back, and I'm going to come in for a landing here in an hour. No. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 3. And do good. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't do good simply as reciprocating good done to you. There's no reward there. Even the wicked do that. Do good in the midst, the context, the midst of the days where it seems like the evildoers are thriving. It seems like the wicked are getting away with it. You keep doing good. If it's not received, you keep doing good. If it's rejected, you keep doing good. If you do good and someone takes advantage of you, you keep doing good.
You don't stop doing good because the evil people are doing evil things. Because wicked people will do wicked things. That's why they're called wicked. Okay, it's just their nature. They're wicked, so they're going to do wicked things. But you keep doing good because in that you're releasing the kingdom of heaven. And even if it doesn't drive the darkness out of that one, it may drive the darkness out of the one next to them. We could spend time going through history. How many events in culture have shifted because someone in the midst of injustice stood for righteousness and did right, and it shifted the heart of people. We've seen this time and time and time in history. It shifted the heart of people, that the people rose up and said, no, wait a minute, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. We got to stop this. Even things they used to not care that much about. We just saw the video came out. Two teenagers in Las Vegas stole a car. They went and hit and ran a white car, and then they're filming the whole thing, and then they saw a bike rider, 64-year-old retired police officer. They didn't know who he was. And the one guy goes, get him, get him, get him. And he sped up, and they ran right into him. He flew into the windshield and flew over, and they turned the camera around. You saw his head whack, and he died. And yet, we're in a day when many of our leaders are not prosecuting because they're minors. Or they're just getting them, and they're saying, well, you know, the jails are too full of certain people, and so we're just going to do this. But there comes a point where there's such wickedness that happens, and then when people that are so innocent and pure are righteous, there's a moment that people rise up and say, no, enough, yeah. Right? It shifts the heart of a people when you keep doing good. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go back to chapter 3. Now we'll look at verse 11 through 14. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I don't know if you have the Amplified, but if you do, watch this. Since all these things, since Jesus, we know Jesus is coming back. Since we know God's word is absolute. Since all these things are thus, in the process of being dissolved, all the wickedness is in the process of being dissolved. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. What kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile? In consecration and holy behavior and devout and godly qualities. Since you know that God is coming back, since you know judgment will happen and the wicked will be destroyed, since you know that righteousness will be established in the earth and Jesus will come and rule and reign here for 1,000 years, and then there'll be a new heaven and new earth. Since you know that God, who spoke before, who created everything, will fulfill his word. Since you're trusting in him, what kind of person are you going to be like in the meanwhile? How are you going to act even in the midst of a wicked, ungodly generation? While you wait, verse 12, and earnestly long for and expect and hasten the coming of the day of the Lord, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. But we look for new heavens and a new earth according to his promise, in which righteousness, uprightness, freedom from sin, and right standing with God is to abide. So, beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him at his coming without spot or blemish and at peace. Be found, eagerly desired to be found when he comes back. When is he coming back? When everything's gotten crazy. When the Antichrist is cutting loose. And he's saying, so we're talking levels of wickedness that the world has never seen. He says, eagerly be found, eager to be found by him at his coming, holy, without spot or blemish, and at peace. Watch this. In sincere confidence, confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Oh, God. He says, don't just desire to be raptured, but to desire to be so at one with Him that you have no internal rage going on anymore. You're not stirred up by agitating passions. You're not moral conflicts. And remember the context here. I don't think moral conflicts. Yes, it does deal with holy living. Those lying and cheating and immorality. But the moral conflict. What about the moral conflicts of wanting revenge? What about the moral conflicts of vengeance and the moral conflicts of reaction in the context that we saw? He's saying, listen, fret not when evildoers come. When it seems like they're winning. Don't fret. Don't get angry. It only causes harm. It causes you harm. So focus on me. So focus on my promise that I'm coming back. So focus on the fact that I am going to rule and reign here on the earth, and I am going to destroy wickedness, and righteousness and peace and justice will rule and reign forever and ever. So rest in that and keep doing good. Keep doing good. What sort of life do you want to live on this earth? I want to live the sort of life that God says, man, son, they treated you like dirt, but you kept representing me. They came after you. They falsely accused you. You were betrayed even in the church, but you kept blessing. You kept loving. You kept releasing my kingdom. Oh. And you were at peace. Listen to me. In the next 14 months, what's going to come out and the warfare that's going to try to come against the church and trying to tear the church apart with the political environment, it's going to be far worse than 2016 and 2020. Far worse. The accusations are coming. And you're going to watch all kinds of things rise up. Be at peace. Keep doing good. Keep blessing. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep giving. Keep forgiving. Keep doing good. Keep realizing that every time you act righteously, you're releasing a little bit more of the kingdom of heaven into the earth. It's more powerful than you can imagine. And we said it last night. Every person, on average, connects with 1,000 people during their lifetime. And those 1,000 people connect with 1,000 people. That's 1,000,000. And those 1,000 people connect with 1,000 people. That's 1,000,000,000. There's only 8 billion people in the world. You're little more than 3 degrees of separation from touching the entire world. Do you understand one person? Do you understand 3 degrees of separation? You touch those people, they touch people, they touch people. You, one person can impact the whole world. And it doesn't mean because you have 1,000,000 or 10 million followers on YouTube or Twitter, you don't have to be what they call an influencer. No, you're an influencer by simply living your life and acting in righteousness and preaching the word of God and sharing the love of Christ and doing good when you're done wrong too. When you keep doing that, you are changing the atmosphere. And I believe that. God says, trust me. Huh? Trust me. God says, trust me. Because I trust that every time I yield to Him and I obey and I act in the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the kingdom of heaven is being released. And I also know the opposite is true. And it's why God says, don't gossip. Huh? Or slander. Because when the Brownsville revival hit, a preacher talked to me about it. I hadn't gone, and he was critical of an aspect of it. And he was a wrong judgment, but it didn't matter. Even if it was correct, he was critical. and it got in my spirit. I actually read that in Psalm the other day. It'll actually get in your spirit. Gossip will actually get down inside of you. It got in my spirit, and so I repeated it. And then when I went to the Brownsville Revival on the 4-year anniversary, and I was so mightily touched by God, and I was so blessed by the atmosphere there, and I just was thanking God, and I said, Lord, forgive me for ever being critical. And he said, oh, I forgive you. But then immediately I had a vision, and I saw my words like a giant boar drilling right a hole right through the body of Christ. And he said, but the words you had released 2 years ago is still doing damage today. Knowing that Christ is coming back, what sort of life, what kind of person ought you to be in the meanwhile? I want to be one that's constantly, and I have failed so horribly in my life on this, but I'm getting better. I want to be a person constantly releasing the kingdom of heaven and never releasing the kingdom of darkness. Oh God, pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Oh God, Lord, we are so weak in ourselves. We are frail in ourselves, God. In ourselves, we are incapable of doing this. But what is impossible with man, nothing is impossible with God. And it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. Therefore, be it unto me according to your word. It is the working of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that releases the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Oh, karababasha. So I yield, we yield, we repent right now, and we yield to you. We surrender our fears. We surrender our previous disappointments and hurts. We surrender our tendency to try to protect ourselves, God. We surrender. We choose to trust in you. Our eyes are fixed on you. We know that even when the wicked plot, you're just standing in heaven laughing because you know their end. We know, God, that the righteous, the inheritance of the righteous will last forever, and the meek shall inherit the earth. We know this, God. We trust in it. Holy Spirit, help us be vessels of the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Help us be vessels of the kingdom of heaven into the earth. In the midst of this present darkness, that we fret not at evildoers, and when the wicked prosper in their way, that we fret not, we do not become angry, shaka, we do not become agitated, but we just give you glory and we give you praise. We continue to bless, we continue to do good, we continue to forgive, we continue to pray for those who treat us wrongly. Shaka da ba ba ma ma ba ba, ora be kara ba ba ma ma shaka. Fear not, church, fear not, fear not. The Lord says, fear not, I am with you. I am with you. I will uphold you. For reacting in fear, the Lord says, reacting in fear will only make you vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. For there is no safety in fear. There is no safety in fear. There is only safety in me, says God. Trust in me, trust in me, trust in me, trust in me. Come on, a few more moments right here. You're going to be generous. You're going to be graceful. You're going to be merciful. You're going to be kind. You're going to be long suffering. You're going to be gentle.
You're going to be a peacemaker. You're going to avoid strife. And you're going to sow peace. Jesus. Steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Oh God. Oh God. Father, we have all fallen short. We have all fallen so short. But you are merciful and you forgive, and you're a good heavenly Father. Train us in the ways of righteousness. And let me give you this, and I'm going to pray for you in a moment. We're going to pray, and the Spirit of God's going to strengthen you. You say, but Brother Steve, I've been hurt and I've been wounded. Yeah. And in this life, betrayals will come. God never promised you wouldn't be betrayed. In fact, quite the opposite. He never promised you wouldn't have disappointments. He never promised that you wouldn't have times that you didn't know what to do, that you were perplexed. In fact, he said, persecuted. Huh? But we're not destroyed. Persecuted. He said, perplexed, but we're not in despair. Why are we not in despair? Because he perplexed literally means he didn't know what to do. But even though you don't know what to do, you trust in him that he's working a master plan. He's a master poet. The walls you build through fear to protect yourself will do two things. It will become the very prison that ensnares you. And it is the open invitation for the enemy to attack you. Fear and responding in fear will never keep you safe, ever. Ever. Fear is the open invitation for the spirit of tyranny. Put that in your spirit, D. Because when people are afraid enough, they will yield themselves to tyrannical control for the promise of safety. That's why California, you know the big problem in the Bay Area is? You're riddled with fear. These rich people here, they're riddled with fear. That's why this area shut down so hard over COVID and yielded to tyranny, because there was so much fear here. Hello? Guys, the real facts of COVID is it turned out to be no more deadly than a flu. That's the literal scientific fact. And it just we allowed it to destroy our lives. Because the fear and tyranny and the uber rich became really rich and the middle class were decimated. A third of your restaurants, a third of your small businesses were destroyed in this region. Wiped out. Because fear is a door opener for tyranny. That's why one of the reasons God says fear not. Because true freedom does not come by protecting yourself through fear. True freedom comes by trusting in him. That's why I said, listen, you think COVID was bad? They're going to send worse ones. Other things are coming. But when did the goal of Christianity become how to avoid dying? I don't know about y'all. Dying is graduation. You know? I mean, I'm still young. I'm 58. But, you know, the body lets me know I'm not 28 anymore. I'm looking forward. Oh, y'all looking at me strange. If you think anything here is in comparison to anything there. You have no concept of the eternal. Listen to the last verse. Just, and we're going to hit on this tomorrow powerfully. 37 verse 3, the last part of verse 3. I only got three verses. Dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. Dwell where you're at. Listen, God may send you somewhere, but don't run somewhere. Oh, I'm just going to run here and run there to find peace, to find something better. I'm going to run here, run there. God says, no, no. Wherever you are, you can dwell right there. You can dwell right there. You can prosper right there and feed on His faithfulness. You feed on His faithfulness. Brother Steve, it's so expensive to live here. I know. It's crazy. I mean, you can't even buy an outhouse here. Compared, you know, you get a mansion in Texas and, you know, you get a porta potty here. I mean, it's bad. It's crazy. I mean, we were driving through this little neighborhood, you know, over by Apple. And driving through the neighborhood, and these little houses, old little houses, and I'm looking at $1.9 million, $1.8 million. I'm like, what? You could have a farm, a bunch of horses, you know. You could have a mansion, three pools, your own jacuzzi, a full-time masseuse. You could have it all. And still not spend $1.9 million. How am I supposed to survive? Oh, you can feed on His faithfulness. If God has put you here, He was not surprised by the economy. He is not surprised by the cost of housing. He is not surprised by any of that. You're going to feed on His faithfulness. Come on, amen. You're going to feed on His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. Something I had to get better at. And listen, it's a part of doing good. Just don't speak death over your finances. Say, oh, no, no, no. I'm feeding on His faithfulness. And what faithfulness? Well, He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. He didn't say, unless you live in San Jose. Come on, amen? He didn't say, unless your taxes are crazy or gas prices are too high. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. So I'm going to feed and rest in His faithfulness. Amen. I want to pray with you tonight. The presence of God is here. We're going to receive an offering for our missions work. Father, we give you praise. Ushers, if they could pass out the offerings. Just keep playing. That almost sounded like you were wrapping up there. Like wrapping up. No, I want you to pray, like give a really good offering music. So if it's not good, I'm going to blame you. No. I thought it was going to start playing like, here comes Santa Claus, here comes something like that. I don't know. You guys have been amazing in this house. We have loved coming here, and then every time God gives fresh revelation. But you guys have also been amazing sowers. But we are in Rosh Hashanah. In fact, it officially ends here as soon as the sun sets. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day holiday, the Feast of Trumpets. And one of the things that happens in the Feast of Trumpets is it's a time of repentance. It's a time of self-reflection. It's a time of considering and weighing out where we've been living our lives. And it's also a time where God says, bring me an offering. Now, there are times where it's prescribed specific. I want you to bring me this and that and this and that, this kind of sin offering, that. But this is where He says, I want you to bring me a meal offering. And food, it speaks of food, a substance offering. The King James said meat, but it was more than meat. It was food or substance. And remember, food was pretty much the core of their existence was food. To share your food with the hungry, when they said that in the Old Testament, that was a big deal. You know, it wasn't like they could just go down to Walmart, you know. That was a big deal. And so what God is saying in this season, the beginning of the Jewish New Year, the spiritual New Year, God is saying, because it's harvest season, because that's what this is, the beginning of harvest season right now. He's saying, I want you to bring me a free will love offering, a Thanksgiving offering. I want you to bring me something and set the year
right. There's something about that. There's something about setting God first in the beginning of the year. I'm going to set him first in every area. We're setting him first. We're going to act right. We're going to do right. And I'm going to set him first. We're going to give right. We're going to give generously. And so the Lord may speak to you tonight, you know, and as the Lord speaks, please, tonight, though, don't just do your standard, whatever it is your standard is. But ask God. We're going to pray for a moment and ask God. Father, I just ask that you speak to our hearts. But Lord, just build us with faith because you want us to give and to flow in that spirit. And Lord, because we trust in you, we're going to feed on your faithfulness. Tonight, Lord, we're going to sow into the missions work around the world. Shakara mamomomosha. Shakara, baby, because as you give tonight, it helps us go to back to India, back to Sri Lanka, back to Kenya, back to Brazil, back to the Philippines. We're working on the Philippines and so many places around the world. Shakara, Father, I give you praise. I give you praise. So just go ahead, and if you're filling out your giving envelope, just go ahead and fill that out. And you can scan to give, and you can give online. If you're writing out a check, make it to Stephos Ministries. But just follow the heart of God in your giving. Oh, Lord, I give you praise. Oh, God, I worship you. I'm going to pray for you tonight that the Spirit of God just fill you, strengthen you. Strengthen you for the days ahead. Strengthen you with so much joy. It's the working of the Holy Spirit. Be filled. That's why I believe Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. He said, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but instead be filled with the Spirit, for the days are evil. So what is he saying? The more you see the days are evil, the more you need to keep getting filled with the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. The more you see that the days are evil, the more and more you need to keep getting filled with the Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Ushers, if you come forward in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Father, I just thank you for this giving tonight, Lord. And I know that some people, Lord, you're just stirring their hearts, and they're going to be very, very generous to help us do these major missions works that are coming up. And I thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of your people. And I thank you, Father, that you do not, every single time we give, Father, you respond. Every single time you give, because every seed you destined to multiply. You said, be fruitful and multiply. The process of everything you created was to release and increase, to release and increase. And as we release tonight, as these gifts are released tonight, Father, I declare increase to come into their lives. Not only, God, to meet their needs, but God, that they would have such an abundance to be generous, not just in giving in church, but generous to their neighbors and generous to even their enemies, God. Oh. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Get this out of the way. It's not by might. Everybody say, not by might. If the worship team could come, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. You are not, hear me. Are you ready for this? Watch this. This is important. When you choose to act righteously in the midst of being treated wrongly, you are never a victim. You literally rob the enemy of the ability to make you a victim when you choose to bless when you're cursed. See, if you're just cursed and you kind of let it affect you, you can be a victim. But if you shift it and you steal the weapon of the enemy and you turn it into something you're giving. Remember when Jesus said, just a little softer, when Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your cloak too. If they take your coat, you've been a victim of theft.
But once you give them the cloak, you're now giving. You're sowing a seed. You just turned what they meant as a thief, as a theft, as a victim, and now you became a seed sower, and whatever you sow, you shall reap. So when you give them the cloak too, you're giving an offering unto God. Come on, are y'all hearing me? Do you understand? Jesus was giving us weapons against the wickedness. He was giving us weapons against the wickedness. Oh, the Sermon on the Mount, weapons against the wickedness. Father, we give you praise. I want us to go into worship for a moment. Then we're going to invite people forward to just receive a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Who just wants a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost today? I encourage you all to come in a moment. Let's go ahead and just worship for a moment.